Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to the My World of Skincare podcast. On this podcast, we will dive deep into the world of skincare, unpacking the secrets to unlocking your best beautiful skin. I'm your host, Makeba Lyons, your friendly neighborhood licensed esthetician with over a decade of experience working with skin and helping my clients and people like you discover their best beautiful skin. Get ready. We're about to embark on a journey to discover your best skin ever. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to My World of Skincare. I am your host, Makeba Lyons. Welcome to episode number 4, Why a Healthy Skincare Barrier is Important. And we're going to talk a little bit about seasonal skincare. For me, I like to change up my skincare throughout the year, and I always make a recommendation for that to my clients because, as you know, with the change of seasons, our skin changes in response to what's going on with the climate. So we are going to talk a little bit about what the skin will need and require at certain phases throughout the seasonal year. But before we get into that, we're going to talk a little bit about some skin anatomy. We'll talk a little bit about how, like, the function of the skin or skin physiology, both a little bit of anatomy and physiology, to talk about what our skin actually does for us. So as we're getting into finding out or figuring out why our barrier can be unhealthy or why our skin barrier can be compromised, I'm going to paint a little picture of how the skin actually works. And so I'm speaking about not just the skin on your face, this is the total body. So skin anatomy works a little bit like this. Think of the outer layer of your skin, it's called the epidermis. And the function of the epidermis is to act as an armor. So there's tiny little cells that are packed together. They kind of look like shingles on a roof if you look at them under a microscope. But we're going to just create a little analogy here that these cells, they're called corneocytes, and they kind of act like an armor. They act like the bricks of a house. So although these skin cells are dead and tough, they make up the bricks of our skin. So these cells are essentially bricks, and they comprise or make up the outer part of our skin. They work to keep water and moisture in the skin and keep chemicals and infection and bacteria and all the bad things out of our skin. So it is a protective layer, and we need it, you know? So it's not just those cells that are doing the job. It's also what I'm going to call the mortar, or the substances that fill in the gaps between our skin. We're going to call that the mortar. And that is made up of natural fats, ceramides, cholesterols, and fatty acids. So in total, the skin barrier is comprised of moisture, or what I'm just going to call water, and fats, or the lipid barrier. So those two things work and exist in harmony to protect our skin, to keep it soft, and to keep things from entering the skin. So as we're looking at how our skin barrier is behaving healthy, we want to take a look at, like, what we're doing to our skin to maybe possibly create an unhealthy environment for our skin. So let's talk about things that we might be doing that can compromise our skin or compromise our skin barrier to make it unhealthy. So one of the first things I see people doing, or, you know, we're all kind of privy to this, is we might be using too harsh products on our skin. And what I mean by that is we might be using too harsh of a soap. We could be using harsh makeup wipes. We could be using a prescription retinoid, and we're using it every day, and we've been on it, you know, every night for the last 3 years, and our skin is, you know, could be a little irritated from that. We could be using high alcohol toners. We could be scrubbing our skin a couple times a week. you know, thinking that that's what we need to do to exfoliate, and the scrub that we're using may not agree with our skin, and the type of skin that we have may not agree with the fact that we're using a scrub like that. And so the skin is going to start talking to you. It's going to start showing you that it is unhappy with some of the things that you're doing to it. We could be using too many actives on our skin. So for the purpose of the podcast, an active is like a alpha hydroxy acid or a beta hydroxy acid or AHA, BHA. So using too harsh a product and over exfoliating is going to be considered one category. So I've just explained what those things are. So take a look at your routines. You know, you could be thinking, gosh, am I doing that? Am I doing one or more of these things? Moving on, we're going to talk about a couple of other things that I hear and see in the treatment room. And that is people deciding that they don't need to use a moisturizer. And this is face and body. So literally, you're not putting the protective moisture back into the skin by using a moisturizer. And that is going to cause your skin to suffer. You're also not using an SPF. For whatever reason, you've got your own ideas about what your skin needs. So you're not using moisturizer and you're not using SPF. And then there are people who really enjoy themselves a nice hot shower, or they really enjoy going to saunas and steam rooms a couple times a week. So my friend, those types of activities, the hot saunas and the hot showers, although they feel amazing and they're very relaxing, those things really, really deplete the moisture barrier in the skin, and they pull so much moisture out of the skin. And then on top of that, you might not be a moisturizer user and your skin is just screaming for a little attention and it needs to be replenished and have that moisture put back in. So we've kind of set the scene for what could be going on in terms of our behavior or what we're doing to create some of the irritation to cause our skin barrier to become unhealthy. And we just went over those things right there. So now we're going to move into the signs that your skin begins to show you that your barrier is compromised or damaged. And one of the very first things that your skin will start to show you, or it will start to kind of behave this way, is you're going to get some skin sensitivity. And what I mean by that is your skin may feel a little tight. It could feel like sensitive to touch, or it just has this overall underlying feeling of it doesn't feel normal. It just feels a little sensitive. It could feel hot or inflamed or something of that nature. So skin sensitivity and skin inflammation. So it could be warm to touch. It could be a little bit more red. You know, you're carrying a redness undertone under your skin, a little pinkness if you're a brown or black person. And that is how your skin is going to respond to the barrier starting to break down a little bit. And if we're looking and talking about hyperpigmentation, inflammation, and skin sensitivity, that's your first sign that your skin is going to start going into hyperpigmentation. So that's point number one. Number two, your skin can start to become dry and flaky and itchy. And you notice that you're scratching your legs a lot, or you're scratching your arms, and you just feel very itchy all over. Those are telltale signs that your skin is lacking moisture, or it's lacking oil, or it's lacking both. Sign number three is you may have some rough patches. This could be rough patches all over the body, and they tend to be patches that are just a little bit more dry. They significantly stand out. They can be, you know, rough patches under your eyes, around your nose, the corners of your mouth and cheeks, wherever. So rough patches will pop up on the skin. You may get some chronic stinging and burning with the use of your products. And so this is more like the face thing right here. If you are using your toners, or you're using a serum, or you're cleansing your skin and you notice that your skin starts to sting, and it's stinging and burning every time you, you know, go to do your skincare routine, that is a big, big indicator that your barrier is compromised and it's a little unhealthy and you need to make a change in what you're doing. And then finally, your skin color starts changing. So it will start to become even more red, more pink. And then for our people of color, our skin will begin to start to look a little bit more ashy, or it starts to look darker in color. And that is the first sign of hyperpigmentation. And so we need to respond to that. We need to actually do something to turn that skin around. Okay, so those are the factors that contribute to an unhealthy skin barrier as far as what you could be doing to your own skin to create this environment for the skin. Now, there are exceptions. We have people who have eczema and psoriasis. That's a little different. Although you do have more of a compromised barrier with those skin conditions, they tend to be associated with other things going on in the body, and it's still an inflammation response, but sometimes it's not so much the reason why you might get an eczema breakout or a psoriasis breakout. So now we're going to move into talking about seasonal skincare, because now that we know what our barrier is doing and now we know how to identify what our skin barrier is doing, if it's compromised or unhealthy, we're going to talk about what we can do to make changes to that or how we can actually treat the skin to get our wonderful glowing skin back. So seasonal skincare, I have a huge philosophy that skincare is very much seasonal and you need to change out your products as the seasons progress or as we move through the seasons. I am someone that has a couple of different cleansers and toners and moisturizers in my skincare regimen because my skin is always changing. We live in different parts of the country, so these recommendations or what I'm going to talk about really has to do more with the seasons that are a bit more extreme, if you will. I live in Texas, and so our winters are very mild. We do get a couple of cold snaps here. And sometimes people still can be a little bit dry here when we turn the heater on in our homes. We experience dryness through that as well. But when you're living in areas up in the Northeast and Midwest and things of that nature, those winters are totally different and your skin and skincare need a little bit more support in those weather conditions. So first, we're going to talk about winter and fall. As far as cleansers go, I'm going to make a recommendation that you have a gel, cream, milk, oil, or balm cleanser in your skincare regimen. Now, the cream, milk, and oil and balm cleansers obviously are going to be much more supportive to keeping the barrier intact, not taking anything from it, and sort of like giving more moisture and more oil to that skin barrier. So those are all great things to use there. Now your toners, aka fresheners or essences, you want to look for low alcohol or low actives, just something that's got some, you know, a little bit more hydration to it. So it could be your rose waters or it could be your essences. And I'm not going to name any brands at this point, but you just want to look for things that have low alcohol and low actives. So it should not contain an alpha hydroxy or a beta hydroxy. Moving on to our hydrators. A hydrator is something that's going to pull water into the skin. So the biggest one out there is a hyaluronic acid. And so you want to look for a hyaluronic acid serum. Moving on to our antioxidants. We've got the gold standard vitamin C. And then you can use a niacinamide. And now these formulas can be serums or they can be creams as well. You can go a little bit heavier on your formulas in the winter and in the fall. Obviously, we want to use our SPF. And then for our nighttime moisturizer, you want to look for something that is a little bit more medium to heavyweight for a moisturizer. If you're doing treatment masks, then we've got a cream mask, you know, look for something that is a little bit heavy, creamy, that you can put on 2 to 3 times a week to then seal extra moisture into the skin. So that's winter and fall skincare. If you are using a retinoid during the winter and fall, my suggestion would be to use the sandwich approach, and that would be to apply a layer of moisturizer before you put on your retinoid, and then put another layer of moisturizer on top of the retinoid, and do that in your nighttime routine. Okay, moving on to spring. So not much different with spring, except you can, you know, lessen the type of cleanser that you're going to use. So you may opt to use a gel or a milky cleanser. Springtime is when it's starting to, you know, get a little bit more warm. The temperatures have chilled out. There's less frigid temperatures in the air. Here in Texas, you know, we start to get humidity in the spring. So people's skin, you know, could change a little bit. So I'm going to say for our cleansers, you can also start to incorporate an active cleanser depending on the type of skin that you have. So an active cleanser would be something that might contain an alpha hydroxy or a beta hydroxy acid in your cleansing. Moving on to toners, you can still be using your fresheners. And then depending on the kind of skin that you have, go ahead and use your toners that contain actives, your AHAs and BHAs. As far as moisturizers go, you can use a medium to lightweight moisturizer depending on the kind of skin that you have, again. And then as far as everything else, you're definitely going to still want to keep using your SPF. All right, so finally, summertime, which is like brutal here in Texas, absolutely brutal. And other states too, you guys get some pretty hot, hot temperatures. And so the thing you want to think about with your summertime seasonal skincare is that you want to look for lighter formulas. With our cleansers, we want to look for the gel formula or something that's foamy. You can still use something creamy or balmy or milky in your nighttime routine to help break down your sunscreen and your makeup, but that's really just to, you know, get a good cleanse and get everything off your skin. But for your daytime cleanse, definitely something a little bit lighter, a gel or a foam. We are for sure using things that are going to help our skin as far as toners go, our active toners, something with AHA, BHA, our hydrators. Even though it's hot and humid and muggy, you could still be losing moisture through your skin. So I would say still keep a hydrator in your skincare routine, something like a hyaluronic acid, and then just switch the kind of formula that you use. Instead of using a hyaluronic cream, you could use a hyaluronic serum. And there's a ton out there that are kind of in a gel to a light, creamy serum that are available. And then finally, we've got moisturizers. You may want to opt to use an oil-free moisturizer. Same thing with your SPF. You definitely can find a formula that's oil-free that contains a 30 or above for SPF. And if you're treating your face post-sun, there are gel masks and sheet masks for post-sun. I see a lot of clients that spend a lot of time outside and they're on their boats and they're playing tennis and they're traveling and they're going on beach vacations. For some of my people, I make the suggestion that they can just kind of go on a little hiatus in the summertime with their retinoid, especially if I know they're not good about covering up in the sun or they're not that great about reapplying their SPF. So you can take a break from your retinoid use in the summertime and pick it back up in the winter, fall, and spring months. So just to recap, we talked about the signs and symptoms of what an unhealthy barrier would look like and how it behaves. We talked a little bit about some skin anatomy and skin physiology, what the skin actually does and what it's made of. And then we spoke about our seasonal skincare. So that's it, you guys. I am all done unpacking that. And I just want to say thank you for joining me. I hope you learned something today. I hope this helped you. As always, I'm going to ask that you share this podcast with someone that you know is intentional about their skincare journey. Please take the time to rate and follow the podcast. It's free. And give it a 5-star rating if this is helping you. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll see you at the next episode. Well, my beautiful friends, can you believe this episode has come to an end? I hope you heard something new, interesting, and fresh today that can help you on your skincare journeys. Let's stay connected. I would love it if you could join our Instagram community at Memorial Skincare. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you loved what you heard, don't forget to rate, follow, and leave a glowing review just like the skin we aim for. I'm your host, Makeba Lyons, sending you beautiful skincare vibes, and we'll see you soon in the treatment room.